woke up this morning with the sun down shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down.
Well, real quick, Stacks and Jacks, same time out. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 350, NASDAQ futures up 250. This is after the day where yesterday morning we mentioned how we were up 23. We closed down on the day, which is what has happened. We haven't closed down, but the last 5 days, the close has been weak compared to the opening, and I don't know what that means, but just letting everybody know. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. Doing great. What a beautiful morning it is.
Yes, it is, and it's supposed to get hot, but right now, today, enjoy it. I have a human interest story, which I don't mind. I actually like to do. I always don't like doing it when the human interest is me, but this time it is, which is weird.
That'll be a first. You're interesting, huh?
Well, I'm not necessarily, but the story is.
Okay.
Yesterday, my brother says to me, "Hey, did you get the email?" And I go, "What email is that?" He said, "Well, I'll send it over to you." Got an email from this Irish lady. Imagine that. And she is telling me about. She's one of these people that really likes getting into her ancestry. And somehow or another, our two families crossed. The Howe family, who I don't know anything about, really, because everybody died so young, and her family. And interesting how they crossed is everybody's from County Clare in Ireland, which I've never been there, but one of these days, maybe. One of her fourth cousins or somebody and somebody, I guess when you landed at Ellis Island, if you ever watched the scene in The Godfather, he didn't have any place to go, so he stayed like in an orphanage or something for a while or something. But normally, when people got there, you had somebody here who came before you, friend, a cousin, God knows what, and you'd say, "I'm going to go stay with them." So everybody who has I know when my Italian family landed, and I saw some of the paperwork. There's like, Kevin O'Neill shows up, I'm going to go stay with my brother Tim, who came 2 years ago, and they go, "Okay, off you go," type of thing, and. So one of her whatever cousins must have known my grandmother, who I never met, Anna Howe, who lived at 42nd Street someplace in Bridgeport, and she went to live with them. So then she goes, of course, gets the interest, and she starts tracking down the Howe side of the family. Or not the family, just in general, because that's what she does. Well, it turns out there's this outfit. My uncle died in World War II. There's this outfit that reunites war medals with the family of people that, there's a lot of lost war medals, evidently. And, they reunite people. So, I called her to make sure it's not there's all kinds of stuff in there, that you're supposed to open up. And of course, my brother said, "Careful, you don't open it up." it's some kind of fishing thing. So I call her first. She calls me back. Terrific lady. I don't understand any of this, Kevin. I mean, maybe Lou would. I mean, he died taking a German bridge in 1945. And the funeral was in 1948. I don't know how they selected whose remains to bring back and whose they didn't, because there's a lot of cemeteries in Europe, right? So I have no idea how that decision's made. Well, they bring the body back in 1948. So the obituary and everything and the funeral in the Tribune is in 1948, like 3 years later. So I don't get that at all. I mean, do you? I mean, I have no explanation.
Well, maybe they weren't able to identify the remains.
But I mean, there's a cemetery in Normandy, right? And there's another one in Bastogne where people died there, just were buried there, right? They're U.S. cemeteries. I mean, a family couldn't have paid for it. They didn't have any money. I don't know. Maybe Lou will know tomorrow. But so anyway, there's this organization that so I call those people. They know more about my family than I do. And it turns out they're shipping me his Purple Heart. And it's interesting. I mean,
nice.
I never, and they knew all about me and Dan, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, that's how they found Dan, through PTI.
I was going to say, are they listeners?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't talk
about it. We got to get them on board.
Yeah, no kidding. And but I mean, it's interesting. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this Purple Heart. And they go, well, one thing you have to promise is that we don't ever get it back. That somebody in the family will take it when you go. I'm like, who's that going to be? I don't know. I can only make promises till I'm not here. After that, I can't really say too much. But you know, it's. And I said, well, do you guys want some kind of donation or something? Well, we're always looking for a donation, but you don't have to. And I'm thinking, wow. That's interesting. Because actually, the thing that got her started was the state treasurer in Illinois was going to somehow find a state way to get medals back to people. I don't know. There was such a lot of medals around that people aren't matched up with. Did you? I mean, I guess there would be, but people die.
It doesn't shock me to learn that, but I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither. Just So that was a Tuesday, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow. But I mean, you know, you find, the weird part is.
Sort of changes up your week, doesn't it?
Well, the weird part is, I mean, I know there was something crazy because my grandfather, he died young, but his older brother, my grandmother, this is kind of odd, my grandmother married the original Tom Howe, okay? And he, like, shortly after they were married, he died in an electric accident wherever he was working. So he got electrocuted at work, and of course, this lady knew all about it. Well, they didn't get a dime, you know. So working and living in the early 1900s, late 1800s, mid-1800s, was not exactly the life people have today. I mean, people think that they got it rough. Well, I don't know that they do necessarily compared to... It's all about what you compare things to, right? I don't think too many people today, I could say the millennial generation, but any generation alive, I don't think would do a day on the I&M Canal, digging a thing by hand, would you? Or do a day in blowing the mountains, the tunnels in the mountains in the Sierra Nevada in the wintertime. I mean, I don't think this group really knows what work is like those people did. And I would not want to go back there. Plus, they had no medical attention of any kind, really. It was a rough gift. So they got no money from that. Well, like 5 or 6 years later, she marries the younger brother, who was my grandfather. But evidently, there were 10 people in the family. I had no idea that I had 8 great uncles wandering around. I mean, it's really strange. I mean, how people don't even know their family in those days because they were coming and going and everybody's dying young. It was just weird. I mean, I'm not so sure we want to repeat that type of thing. What we got right now is pretty darn good, even though everybody complains about it. Depends on what you compare it to.
But way to go, Grandma, too. You know, go for the younger brother, not the older brother.
Yeah, well. So, but he didn't last too long either, so. I was the first male that made it past 36.
Good job.
Yeah, nice work.
Yeah, nice work. So, anyway, we got the Zoom earnings from last night, Kevin. And I don't ever want to give investment advice, but I'm incredulous at so many stock prices, and how everybody all day long on TV does nothing but find a way that they're actually worth what they are. I'm looking. Stocks was actually up last night. It's trading 378 or 379, and the revenue per share is $10. Like, that's not very much. And their earnings, I don't even think they're positive earnings here, are they? I mean, let me see. No, they're 99 cents, so they make $4 a year. So, if this stock was, now last year had to be their best year, right? I mean, everybody had to use it.
I was going to say, are they ever going to have a better year than they just had?
Yeah, I
don't know how, so.
If this stock was.
Unless you consider some of their, a lot of their subscription revenue to be annuity. Once they have the business, they're just going to keep repeating it. Because remember, individuals like you or like me could get a personal Zoom account for free. It's really the corporate subscriptions where they buy, you know, X number of seats, that are the revenue stream. So they're going to have to, you know, let let's assume that they're going to be able to maintain the revenue indefinitely. They're going to have to squeeze on the cost side. And how many companies are really good at that?
Well, yeah, and I all I'm going to say is these are 1999 numbers, where Cisco was like $2 or $3 a share and was trading 65 in revenue. I mean, if this stock was $40, I wouldn't look at it and say it was cheap. I mean, I don't have anybody in it. I'm not trying to get anybody to sell it. And it might go to 500. Who knows? But the point is, these things are astronomical, Kevin, in terms of any kind of value. And I know people don't care about value anymore because look at Bitcoin. There is no value. And look where it's trading. But someday, somewhere, this stuff comes home to roost. And, and it hasn't in such a long time that people are convinced it's never going to. But the thing that is really bugging me, and I know Maddie's probably tired of listening, is the end of the day, inflation is a very serious tax on people who aren't part of the raise the prices every day group, which is 90% of the population. I mean, there's nothing crueler than somebody making $35,000 in January and making $35,000 at December 31st and having all the prices around them being up 10%. I mean, there's no tax increase that usually is that bad, is there?
I mean, there isn't, and the real, the big problem that we have with that is that it really is 10%. I'm astounded now. I've been complaining about the grocery store for the last few years, but lately it's just completely out of control.
Unless you, like I do, because I actually pretty much like everything. There's only one person I'm cooking for. Well, no, except when Audrey's friends are over, then I'm cooking for eight, which is fine. I love cooking, but... if you are capable of going to like the Myers or the Jewel or someplace, not that you have to do it in the morning, but if you go there at 7 in the morning when nobody's around, there is always something that they manage to mess a date up. Not that you're buying something that's bad, but you need to sell it in the next week or something. You can actually eat, if you just want to feed a family, you can do it relatively cheaply if you're just willing to eat whatever's on sale. But if you promise the kids we're having pork chops on Tuesday, good luck with that. I mean, you're paying through the nose. But I mean, you can always find pasta on sale, good pasta for $1 a pound. If you want, you can always find some ham that's. I think they have problems with their dates, but I'm noticing now that even that's sort of creeping up. But if you go to like the butcher spot, and I mean, what's a steak now? It's got to be $13 a pound, right? It's up there.
I actually saw ribeyes for $19.98 a pound.
Were they prime at least? Or the only way you get a break there is go to like your Costco or some other restaurant.
No, they about half of them, the ones that were already on the shelf, were $15.98 or something, and then the newest ones that they had just put out were $19.98.
Well, we went to
unbelievable
this restaurant.
Unbelievable! I was appalled when they went over $10.
Well, we went to one of our favorite restaurants because it's so. As you know, Kevin, the South Side are Irish. They only move out of the city in like a pie-shaped pattern. I mean, you never get anybody who is back of the yards or visitation or one of those places. I'm naming parishes now. A very Chicago thing. From there, when the neighborhood changed, they moved to St. John Fisher, Oak Lawn, those kinds of places. St. Cajetan's, maybe Beverly if you had money. And then when that, if you didn't like that place, then you moved to Orland or Palos, and then you moved, you're on your way now to Mokina. It's always Southwest. You would never find one of those people ever going to like the North Shore or going to Oak Park. They just don't do that. I mean, it's like being on the trading floor. You only go in the same direction as your group, right? One of the places we go to is out in Mokina, and it's a bar restaurant place, and you get to sit at the bar and watch the ball games and eat at the bar. It's nice. I go in there Saturday, and of course the menus. Now you see it's all written in. Right, and I'm going, okay. this is the place that either they own the building or they own the shopping center or they got a lease from God knows when. So I think their overhead's pretty low. And so I'm looking at this stuff and I kind of remember a few of the things on the menu. And I see that there's just the two pork chops are $19.75. Well, 2 weeks ago they were $14.75. So that's a serious number. What is that, almost 30%? Because they were a little underpriced at $14.75, I'll say, compared to other places. But now they're up $5. And, and I do enough shopping to know that if you look around, I'm saying, even if you give somebody 2 half-pound pork chops, which very few people do, you can find, especially if you do the butchering yourself, you can find pork chops easily in the $2.50-$2.75 range per pound. So say $3. Now, so the main thing you're selling somebody is $3 plus some pasta, which is nothing. And now all of a sudden you're $19.75. So even in a place that has about as minimal of overhead as you're going to get, you're talking six to seven times the amount of what they're paying for it. Kevin, that's unconscionable. I mean, in terms of, but I know now it's not the food anymore. It's the lease. Just like people go into a hospital or a doctor's office, they think the huge number they're paying is for the doctor. It's not. It's for the overhead in the hospital. I mean, this whole world has changed, and I don't know why exactly it has changed to this extent, to where the overhead is this high. I mean, when I was at Pullman, one of the guys, when Pullman started slow up, one of the guys who was our controller left and went to work for Scott Ladd Ready Froze. Now, somebody bought them, but those were it was actually pretty fascinating. Maddie, your bro would have loved this place. Oh, I'm sure there's a few more. They were one of the first people to use that really heavy, what do they call that crap, Maddie? The real heavy plastic on, like, the steak, where you can actually keep it in the fridge for, like, 8 weeks or something.
Yeah, the
cryovac.
But yeah. It's real heavy stuff, and that's why when you walk into, like, the, you know, even like Brokers or someplace, and 15 people want a steak, out they come with the steak. Because you can put it, it stays in the fridge, what, Manny, like 6-8 weeks, and then freeze it for like a lifetime, right?
Yeah, exactly. When it's vacuum sealed, and there's a technical name for that, I can't remember what it is, but yeah, it can last a long time.
But it's not regular plastic, it's thick. I mean, it's...
It's really thick, heavy-duty plastic.
Yeah, and it's... And you can buy, the catalog was like, you know, Clay would know this, 6 ounce fillets, 6.5 ounce fillets, 7 ounce, anything you wanted in any size you could get. And he used to tell me that in those days, this is now in the late 70s, he goes, to figure out if something's priced right, because I asked him, how much should you pay for something in a restaurant? He goes, the meal should be 40%, the main part of the meal should be 40% of what you're paying. So if you go into, well, Gibson's wasn't open at the time, if you go into Eli's or someplace, and they charge you $30 for the steak, the steak should cost them $16 or $12, and then the potato, if they give you that for free or whatever, included, I won't say free, if they give you that, that's, he goes, but the main item, I'm going to say it's probably down to what, 20% maybe, 15 maybe. I mean, if they're not getting 5-1 on stuff now, they're not happy. So it's almost like you're not even paying for the stuff that you're eating. But if you go into these places, what do you think, man? You give the guy $50 or $75 for you. $150. You walk in, you and Jill walk in, give the guy $150, and he'll be happy to feed you whatever you want and let you drink all night.
Yeah, pretty much.
It has nothing to do with what you're eating. It has to do with...
Maybe not let me drink all night.
Well, maybe not. Well, you'd be going for the top shelf.
Well, that, and it may need $300 from me.
Yeah, okay. but I mean, basically, they're charging you for your fanny in the seat now. It's all about the lease. It's all about the gas bill. It's all about the, right? It has nothing to do with what you're eating, especially if you're eating like pasta or something.
So the question is, can you make the dining experience worthwhile?
Right, right.
Because that's what they're selling you now.
And you know, I first picked this up.
But in a lot of ways, I'm sympathetic to most of the restaurant owners. Not the chains necessarily, but. But they just spent the last year depleting their cash.
Oh yeah,
they need to get some of it back. if they survive this rainy day, the next one's going to put them out of business. So, you know, I get it. They got to, you know, they have to build back better. Damn it.
Well, they have to, and they also economically, and this is the interesting part of economics. I mean, it's why trading, to me, Kevin, never gets old, because every day is different than any other day you've ever been here. I mean, there's big similarities, but by and large, I mean, I notice some similarities now with these stocks that people love and the valuation nobody cares about. It's very reminiscent of 1999, but that doesn't mean it's going to end like 1999, or I'll be able to figure out the day it does end any more than I could back then, right? You know, because I just know we're on an unsustainable path, but what's going to happen is if all of a sudden everybody has to pay, the one thing that doesn't change, I mean, economically, the one thing that doesn't change is the price people are willing to pay in there. Because I've noticed a few places, you know, we go out every weekend, and I go a couple nights during the week with my guys. None of these places are crowded, Kevin. I mean, they can say what they want about there's a place on a Saturday that's jammed or this place. Yes, but I stopped in the Tripoli last night. There were 10 people in there. Now, you know, because it's a Tuesday night, and it's a nice night. It's a beautiful night. The outside was pretty full, but they're it's not these prices are not something you can do every night now. I don't think. Maddie, you agree? I mean, you're still going to take Jill out a couple nights a week. A, she's worth it, and B, you like going out. But it's not every single night. I mean, if you go across the street, even where you live now, to the bar, you walk out of there, a few beers and a burger, it's going to be $35-$40.
Right? Easily.
Easily. Which, and I'm going to say, when I first started going to the Tripoli 20 years ago, I'm out of there in $20. And I'm not making double. I don't think many people are. So, but what's going to happen, Kevin, I think, and this is the fascinating part, is you're going to see every lease is going to change. Because if somebody says, my restaurant buddy Al, I said, Al, if you knew you had to pay people $12 an hour instead of 10, would you have ever signed that lease? And he goes, well, hell no. So now you're going to find, one thing, you're going to reach the point where I've tried to charge $15 for a hamburger, and I noticed the place is pretty sparse. I better go back to 12 or 11 so I can get some people in here. And once you get to the number that you can charge people, that's going to be your revenue. And then sit there, okay, I know I have to pay the guys in the kitchen $12 than when I used to make them. Well, what's going to fall out? It's going to be the lease. You're not getting any help from the electric company, or you're not getting any help from the city with the taxes. But I'm going to say that these leases are all going to have to be less. They're the only thing that can move, right? I mean, the hamburger's not going to move.
Well, they're the only big line item that can move.
Right. I mean,
you can trim away bit by bit on things, but once you know, a lot of that is on stock, and that means you're going to start trimming away on your quality, and that's going to prevent you from getting the premium price for your food too. So, yeah, I think you're right. You know, lease is where it has to, is you know, you squeeze the balloon, and that's the part that bulges out.
And now all these people, I mean, what is going to happen? I just had adult beverage with a couple of my guys that are in the mortgage. What do you call the guys, Maddie or Kevin? When people don't pay their mortgage, they toss the mortgages to these guys, and they either renegotiate them or boot people or whatever. It's
The workout people.
Yeah, the mortgage
workout.
And now these guys are working like weekends. They're already starting to get slammed. They're talking about 11 million people. I have some thing here I was going to read off to everybody today. 11 million people are behind in their rent countrywide for like months now. And I don't know, you know, what's going to happen when the landlord's going to push.
Which means who else is behind then?
Well, you would think that depending on the owner, some are going to be behind on their mortgages, right?
That's right.
But I don't know how many.
They're going to be behind on their loan payments. And this is going to be the same issue. You go back to the restaurant example. Okay, now I negotiate down my lease. Now you have the building owner or the property owner who probably has a loan, and now you're starting to squeeze on that end. So where are they going to go to get some relief? That'll be interesting to see too. I mean, this is bad. We are not going to work out of this for a lot of years if we, assuming we work out of it at all.
But I question sometimes, Kevin. I mean, I put it this way: I enjoy doing the show because at my age, I'm very mentally challenged by the people that come out here. I mean, I feel like I'm 25 when I do the show. I mean, to be perfectly blunt, I obviously don't look like that, but I mean, I learn something from Maddie every day we ride in. I learn something from you. I learn something from Carl. I even learned something from Frank, for God's sake, believe it. I don't even want to say that, but
poor Frank.
Poor Frank. But, you know, it is, I don't understand why the people we hire, when I say we hire, president, people like that, vice president, I want to go there, don't they get, when you have people, this is second year economics, when you have people whose income is not kept up with other people's, and you constantly rant and rave about income inequality, the absolute worst last thing you can do to your people is have a general inflation. If you actually care about those people, that's the worst thing you can do other than dropping, you know, an asteroid on their head. And we're going right down that road without even caring. I mean, that is the absolute worst thing you can do. It's like worried about people being wet as you're spraying them with the garden hose. oh man, we got to make sure the citizenry dries out as you're spraying the guy with. That's exactly what it's like. I mean, these people, are they that stupid collectively, or they don't care, or it's all just a big game to get 1% of the population all the money because they're the ones that put them in office? Is it really that contrived? I mean, I don't know. Something is seriously wrong.
Sometimes I think yes, and sometimes I think no. They're definitely not smart enough to pull that off.
I think the people behind them that are pushing them, without even knowing it, are pushing that agenda, though. That only a few people have all the power and all the money.
You mentioned the vice president. Did you see yesterday that the president has put her in charge of another no-win proposition?
That's what vice presidents do. Well, Trump did that. What's his name? Saw how many times?
Well, you know, first he gave her the border, and she has done everything possible to say, not really. I don't really have the border. I'll deal with the country south of the border, and we'll work on some really good long term plans that are going to make people want to stay there. So that's, you know, and I've read some stuff where, you know, she's really pushed for a role, and out of annoyance they've been giving her the crap. But the one from yesterday is that she's going to be in charge of trying to get the Senate on board to the to using reconciliation or whatever, because basically, as Biden said, it's those moderate Democrats that won't change the Senate rules or won't flout the Senate rules that are keeping me from doing what I want to do.
Well, help my.
Not that he hasn't done a lot already, but you know, it's the mansions and the cinemas and people like that, and so he's given responsibility for pulling that together too.
Well, and break.
No, I think when you go ahead and take the break.
I was saying, and break. Why don't, there's maybe somebody can tweet. I remember, I can't remember what it was, but some amazingly thankless job Obama gave Biden when he was vice president. That was totally impossible. It was like solving the last digit, you know, the value of pi or something.
Well, he gave him Ukraine. He gave him overseeing the stimulus spending.
There was something here. I don't know. Was it some kind of hurricane or some ridiculous job he gave him? So Biden, at least he learned it from the other end. S&P futures up one, NASDAQ futures down one. Very slow this morning. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatory antiinflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. It's Brett Weber on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. SP Futures up 1.25 and NASDAQ Futures down 250. So we're not doing the way up this morning and finishing either slightly up or unchanged or a little down like we have the last few days. So at least we're starting unchanged. I don't know if that means we're down a bunch today or we finish up. Who the hell knows? But Dow's up 31 over in Europe. We've got DAX, which is up huge yesterday. It was only down 3 points. We'll call that flat. FTSE up 12. It's 0.2%. CAC round up 14.2%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 131, that's 0.5%. Shanghai down 27.7%. Hang Seng, which was up yesterday when everybody else was like flat, down 170.6%. So they're kind of random over there. It's lately, it's kind of weird. This is a review of yesterday. Dow finished up 45 after being up like 250 most of the day. S&P was down 2 and the NASDAQ was down 12. So it ended up being, kind of not much of a start to June. Bonds, 10-year 1.60, so even though all these inflation numbers keep flying out, the Fed, of course, they won't tell us week to week what they're doing on the money supply anymore, which is, I mean, really stunning to me. And I can't believe that Powell hasn't even been asked that by one of these alleged reporters that do the news conferences. But anyway, if you don't know, I guess it's okay. One minus 0.19, a Japan positive 0.08. Oil, which was over 70 yesterday, the Brent is now 71.09 Brent. That's 84 cents higher. West Texas, 68.42. That's up 70 cents. Natural gas down 2 cents, but still 308, which is pretty high for this time of the year. RBOB up 2 cents, 219. So you're sure as hell not going to buy it at 219 like you could a few months ago when the wholesale price in New York Harbor is 219. So I'm going to say you got to be at least 319, which is about where it is. Gold down 690, just ducked under 1900, 1898. Silver down 26 cents, 27.84. Copper down 4 cents, 4.61. And this is not any kind of trading thing, but gold at 1900, the GDX, which is the gold miners index, is like 39, 39 and a half. The interesting part is last year when gold went to 2000, it's not a straight line deal. I looked yesterday, the GDX went to like 44. So when the gold goes up much more than this, if, that's the big if, silver as well, all of a sudden these companies do real well because that's all profit. Also, because if you think gold is going to go to 2000, who the hell knows, you're probably going to get a bigger push out of the GDX than you are out of the metal itself, which is interesting. Copper down 4 cents, 461, which is still, hey, why the hell didn't we buy that at 228 when it landed?
You're the professional.
I knew it was going to go up. I had no idea. 461 is huge. And then capital crypto, Bitcoin up $1,100, 37,157. What do you got for us, Travis Weather Sports?
Coming up on 38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have an issue down on I-80, eastbound side, just before Kedzie. There was a crash that's causing some delay. But that's our only crash in the area. No issues if you're coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Normal traffic volumes on the Stevenson and Eisenhower as well. And on the north side, all quiet on the Edens and Kennedy, same for Lakeshore Drive in both directions. Looks like we do have a bit of a slowdown on the tri-state out in the western suburbs. Northbound side, right around the Eisenhower there, there's slow traffic to get onto the exit ramp to I-290 from the tri-state, but no accidents to report. Everything else all quiet. Weather today, lots of sunshine, a bit cooler than yesterday, but similar, a high of 70. Right now it's crystal clear and 58 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, the hottest day of the year so far, partly cloudy skies with a high of 106. Right now it's clear and 80.
In sports, Cubs keep rolling. They were up 2-0, then fell behind 3-2, and then got a big two-run homer. 445-foot shot.
That thing
by
was a bomb.
Wilson Contreras to left center to take a 4-3 lead, and then the bullpen shut the Padres down yet again, and the Cubs win 4-3. White Sox got behind big early, rallied back late to make it close, but fell to the Indians for the second straight game, 6-5. Sox are still 2.5 up on Cleveland, with the final game of that four-game set today. Diamondbacks finally got a win. They've been really reeling. They topped the Mets 6-5. And NBA basketball, for our Suns fans out there, they're just one game away from eliminating LeBron and the mighty Lakers as they blew out Los Angeles 115-85 last night to take a 3-2 lead. Chief.
I was watching the Sox, and they were coming back. They had the bags loaded in the top of the ninth, and they just walked the guy in. This guy couldn't find the plate, right? So up comes Abreu. He takes two balls in a row and manages to hit a ground ball on ball three. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? This guy can't find the play. I don't care if you're Babe Ruth. You got to wait for this guy to throw a strike.
Yikes.
And it's, I mean, I think he'd have probably won. I mean, there's no way, if that would have got called the ball, that this guy was going to throw three strikes in a row.
That's one thing as a fan that drives you nuts. I mean, none of us can hit big league pitching and don't claim that we can. But we'd like to think that if a pitcher's thrown six or seven straight balls, that we're going to make him throw at least one strike. And when you see a guy not have that mindset, it drives you crazy.
Well, even I mean, he's your big horse. There's no doubt about that. And he's got more game-winning hits than anybody in majors. But you got to – here's a guy that's clearly struggling. You got to let him struggle for a little bit.
Let him throw one strike.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Hey, you know, it's funny as we –
Well, you know, my look at it is I'm not opposed to swinging. What I'm opposed to, though, is it's got to be what's your strike zone.
Well, it was so low outside.
In that situation, my strike zone is right in my sweet spot, fastball only, and the strike zone itself is about 3 inches square.
You know? Yeah,
and that's it. I ain't swinging at anything else but that. But I'll swing at that. If you want to lay one in there like that, then I'm all for it.
What did Steve Stone say about Ryan Sandberg? The inside fastball is going to put him in the Hall of Fame, and it did.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a quick, just a thought here about our changing, and you can see it in stock prices, you can see it in investing, you can see it with the changing view of I'm going to say the world. It changes, but it doesn't change. Have you guys seen the commercial? Now, of course, in this day and age, where we're never going to say that somebody's good looking, bad looking, or nobody's ever tall, nobody's ever short. Yet nobody will have a commercial unless
that works for me.
Except for Toyota and Flo, where they're trying to break into the girl next door kind of stuff. Virtually every other commercial's got some smoking hot lady there. There's no doubt. And now the funny part is, remember Jim Verbeck used to play softball with us.
Sure.
You remember his old man who used to scream and yell at the ump all the time?
Yeah.
Well, George, the old man, was a serious pitcher back in the day of real, you know, steel cleats, 55-foot bases. He went out of work and you know, full contact at the plate from those days. And he was on one of the top five teams in the city for a long time. Chicago Screw Company was the name of the place. And he, you know, he was a kind of contemporary of Eddie Zollner and those guys that put the Bobcats together. Well, when we first started, we were going to try and get in the B-League in Kelly Park. And Kelly and Clarendon were the parks in the city to play softball.
And, I remember.
So every if you wanted to be in the A League, man, you had to come up with at least, what was it, a $250 bet per game was your minimum.
Yikes.
And so, but everybody bet more than that. It was usually like $50 a guy, back when $50 was like a real lot of dough. And, so it wasn't just, I mean, this was serious softball. It's not just people yelling at each other. And, so George used to tell me the umpire that was making, you know, $10 a game, he goes, the betting that went on in the stands made the betting on the field look like kids play. He said, if you made a bad call, you're lucky to get out of there. Your least worry was a guy like George arguing from you with the pitcher's mound. It was somebody in the stands going ape bleep because you made a bad call and he lost $100. So fast forward to today. They got some smoking hot lady on there. What's the group that's going to have the betting thing at the ballpark, Manny? They're on, she's on,
it's like a Bet River or,
one of those places.
Like
And of course, she comes in, and she didn't get this job because she won it in the lottery. She got it because she came to the front of the line naturally. Anyway, and she's talking about betting during the game at the park. Now, does anybody think that that's not a good idea, like, other than me?
You can already do that.
Well, I'm saying, well, she's advertised. I mean, does anybody think that that's not, it's probably not, how far?
Sooner or later, somebody is going to come out of the stands.
Yeah. But, I mean, with this, how far has this gone
out from? I went to the Cubs game last night. Out of the 25,000 people that were there, I would say 5,000 of them had a bet on the Cubs game last night.
But I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm just saying how much it's changed kind of without thought. I mean, when we were young, Kevin, if you went to a casino, if you were a major league player, you were suspended. Alex Karras was seen with a gambler. He was suspended for a year for what? Consorting with a gambler? Let alone being able to bet on him at the park? I mean, how can we keep Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame when you're encouraging people to bet while they're there, for God's sake?
Because he was actually managing.
But he only bet on his team.
Because he could influence his bets.
But he only bet on his team, he claims.
Well, there's a couple problems with that.
I understand.
The first problem is that you don't want him in that position, especially if he's losing. You don't want him in a position where now people are going to approach him and say, well, you know what, you're either going to have to pay up, have your legs broken, or let's make sure that I win my bet this game.
How do we know Barton?
The second thing is that when he's betting on a game, he has a financial interest in doing what it takes to win that game when a manager is supposed to be looking for the long haul. So does that mean that your closer has worked 4 days in a row, but I have a bet on this game, and I shouldn't use the closer today, but oh, what the hell, I got money on this, I'll send the closer in one more time.
Understand all that, Kevin.
It can easily influence your decisions to the detriment of the team.
Okay, we just got the Kevin O'Neill line, which I, by the way, happen to agree with, which I'm not supposed to tell you. But what this line is moving so fast, where's it going to end? I mean, we couldn't even come close to even mentioning gambling. To then we put a casino, was it across the street on one of the rooftops, Manny or something? We had a casino over there.
Yeah, now it's embraced.
Now it's totally embraced.
It's a revenue stream.
I mean, can you really? And the idea is that you want a player getting behind on it because then all of a sudden somebody can get you to throw the game. Well, that could go for basketball or football as well. But I mean,
goes for every sport.
But I mean, we're down that we're marching down this road. Do you think there's really a line there? It seems like it gets moved every year.
Well, there's got to be a line somewhere, but we'll cross it before we figure out what it is.
Well, plus this is now the fourth time in my lifetime that gambling is going to save us all. Right, in Illinois, first it was lottery, then it was off-track betting, then it was casinos, and now it's sports gambling. Why don't the people get it that it's nothing but a tax? Even though I understand people enjoy doing it, but collectively it's nothing but a tax on people who can least afford to pay it. If you were to take a look at the lottery and who essentially does the scratch-offs and stuff during the day, if you were to take a survey of those people, it's yet another tax, right? And on people who can least afford to pay it. I mean, I love to gamble, so I'm the wrong person to talk about it, but my idea of gambling is if I want to gamble, I'll either play poker with my buddies, who I haven't done in a long time, or I'll get on a plane and I'll go to Vegas and I'll put some cash in my wallet that I'd probably... Let's put it this way. I can afford to lose. Nobody can easily afford to lose anything. So I put a couple of groupers in my packet, and I go to Vegas, and I go to dinner, and blah, blah, blah. I have a nice time, go to a show, gamble a little bit. If I'm winning, I gamble a little more, and I come home. I'm not harming anybody. But if every single day I take half my paycheck and I go to the lottery thing, or I go to the video poker in a restaurant before I even leave it, does anybody think that's positive? Even for a guy like me,
it doesn't even have to be half your paycheck. It can be $10 a day.
Yeah.
That winds up being a lot of money.
But does people not get that? Even if it's something for you to do personally, you know, if Maddie wants to throw $10 or $20 in the Cubs and he's good at it, I got no problem with that. But even Maddie would know that if all of a sudden they have two or three kids and need the dough and he's still doing it, it's probably a problem if he's not winning.
Just like with anything,
yeah.
In moderation.
But I'm saying there's a difference between the way we look at it. As people can afford it with the bet that's the right number and the way the governor looks at it. I'm not talking about Jay personally. You're looking at hey, I'm going to have 5 million of my people, 4.5 million probably, which can't afford to, are going to play this lottery or play the video poker, and I need the dough. Well, is that a positive thing or not? I'm going to say it isn't, even though I like to gamble, and so do you. I mean, it's a difference collectively is what I'm talking about.
Well, and the question is buying scratch offs, is that the same as playing cards? Is that the same as testing your skill at picking games?
I'm going to say no.
There's no thrill in playing the game. There's no enjoyment in playing the game. It's just scratching something off and winning, or getting a positive result when they have the draw. And you know, that's fine if you win, you know, or if you don't lose more than you can handle, or you know, whatever, then not a problem. The problem gets to be that, you know, there really isn't anything to it. It's just basically throwing your bet on the wheel of fortune. You know, spin the wheel, let's see if it hits. I don't get the thrill of doing it.
But it's the yanking more money.
I'll definitely buy a Powerball ticket when it gets up to about $600 million, though.
But it's a way of yanking more money out of. I mean, if you add all that stuff together, and you have I'm going to say some buffoon on CNBC talking about how many people don't pay taxes when they zero in an income tax. You combine all this other crap, the sports betting, the you name it, and lottery. The average tax rate of people, some people, well, I go back to the guy, the street guy, he used to come into the, was Copperfields, the building I lived in. On Saturday morning, I'd see him in there, he'd get $20, I use the term begging, at night or wherever he got it. He'd walk in, get two things of Coke, a thing of Doritos, and 17 lottery tickets. The guy's tax rate was higher than Phil Mickelson's, for God's sake. Right? I mean, if you figure his expense, anyway, just, when this is starting to come down on people, it's all part of my inflation discussion, Kevin. And God help us if all of a sudden this market were to collapse and people can only write off $3,000 a year against their losses. I mean, we're going to have
that. Yeah, so I look at it two ways, and I think you've pretty much covered it. One is people should be allowed to do what they want.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with that. But by the same token, it's pretty unseemly that it's really the government that is saying, let's take advantage of our citizens.
Right. That's the part
And that's the part that probably that I find distasteful about it all.
Well, yeah, I don't have any.
They don't know darn well who they're hurting.
Well, plus you have a sport, be it horse racing, which I happen to like. Okay, but now horse racing returns 85% of the purse to the people who bet. Yet when whoever the guy was that designed the lottery. What is it, Matty? 42? 45? They return?
I've never played the lottery in my life, so I wouldn't know.
I think it's like 45. Well, that's one hell of a difference. So, yeah, why do we want these people playing the horses where we only take 15% of their money every time they do it when we can take 60? What do you suppose the payout is on the video poker games and the restaurants where the state is? And I had no idea.
I didn't know they took 15% of your money on horse racing.
They pay out 85% of the win pool.
I didn't know that.
Well, the rest goes to the track and the prize money and everything else.
Makes sense. Yeah. If I put $100 on a 6-to-1 ticket, I get $600. I don't get 580. You know, 550.
If you go to the track, okay, and it'll say 6-to-1, it'll say 5-to-1 when you make your bet, but it moves, correct?
Correct, but sometimes it moves in your favor. Depends on how the money's coming in.
I understand that, but there also is a board in Arlington they don't have it for like your trifectas and stuff, but it'll show you there's 8 horses, there'll be 8 numbers up there, the win pool. All right, it'll tell you exactly how much is bet on every horse of the 8.
Okay.
And when at the end of the day, if you got the 4 horse and you win, if there's $50,000 in there, they're gonna pay out 85% of $50,000 on the win tickets. That's how they calculate it.
Your individual payout is going to be exactly what.
No, it's not.
It's going to be exactly what the line is on the board at the start of the race.
No, it isn't. Absolutely not.
If I bet on a horse at 5-1, and then at the start of the race it's still 5-1, or it goes to 6-1, or it goes to 3-1, I'm going to get paid on whatever that number is.
Whatever that number is, not what you would you when you bet it.
Well, I know that it's the one sport where you're not locked in. I know that, but it's not like if it moves in my favor or against me that I get paid a fraction of that number. I still get paid the full 3-1, 5-1, 7-1, whatever.
You get 85% of the win pool that happens to work out to be in 2-1 or 3-1.
But it only really affects the people that lost.
What do you mean?
Because you lost anyway. I'm still going to get whatever my number is locked in at.
What I'm saying is if the win pool is 100 grand and there's two people bet on one horse, he's such a nag, he looks like Kevin and me, a two-headed horse, and he happens to win, those two tickets are going to split 85 grand. 100 grand minus 15.
I mean, I get what you're saying, and I guess you're right if you're talking about the whole pool.
Yeah, the whole pool. You get 85% of the pool divided by the amount of tickets. That's the payoff.
All right, and that's fair, and that's how the line moves.
Yeah, that's how the line moves.
But but my point is it's not like, I mean, I guess it's still taking a vig just in a different way.
Yeah, what I'm saying, if you look at it and your horse is 6-1, okay, and all of a sudden you're looking at the win pool and a guy, a big swinging bleep like Kevin runs up and puts 500 hours on your horse, all of a sudden you're going to see the 500 hours go into the pool behind your horse, and then you're going to see the odds drop.
Right.
And it does that the whole time. Like, if you watch when they first went up, go up there, when it just first starts, there might not be anything on your horse, and the guy might be 200-1. All of a sudden,
the odds are going to factor in that 15% of that pool is not going to pay off.
The odds are the odds are like valuing an option. If you say, I want IBM, what's the price of the option at a 20 volatility, that you go into the formula that way. If you say, the options trade in X, what volatility is that? And you back up to the 20, you're just backing up the math.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's unlike baseball or, you know, football or whatever, where if you get in early or if you get in late, depending on which way the lines are moving, you're locked in at wherever
right.
you get in.
Totally different.
And you know what you're going to pay and you know what the VIG is up front.
Yeah, no, the part that
and if you bet an underdog, then there is no VIG.
See, now if you guys want to knock me off my game here, you could do it easily because you know what I don't know. Somehow, I don't know how if you bet a horse to show and he wins, somehow you get a piece of something. So it might just be the show pool. I'm not sure, but because if the horse wins, you still get something. Even if I don't know how they break up the place or the show pool between whether your horse won or came in second.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still 85. They pay out 85%. And I'm saying when they did the lottery, they really want to steal from people. They pay out like 45, which is an incredible different amount, isn't it? It's like half.
Yeah.
So when you look at the way they want to screw the horse owners, it's because the horse owners. Nope. You think people make 85% on video poker and the Pepe's tacos? I'm thinking that. What do you think?
I wouldn't even know. I'll
bet you it's 65%. They pay out in maybe 70.
Maybe less.
Maybe less.
By the way, we only have a few minutes left. I wanted to talk briefly about going to the Cubs game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I think it's the first time I've gone to a big sporting event since COVID. I don't know if anyone else on the show has. But it was 65% allowed capacity last night, and the Cubs were absolutely there. I mean, it was completely full to the max of the 65%.
Betty, is it on TV? It doesn't look like it.
Well, I was talking with Herb last night. The rich folk that have the behind the plate tickets, they must either not feel comfortable or something, but because those were empty. So when you watch it on TV, the stadium looks empty because for whatever reason, behind home plate, like 10 rows up, there's maybe like 5% of the people there or 10% of the people there. So I don't know.
Yeah, but when they pan the crowd, then you can see that it's got lots of people there.
Oh, yeah. The bleachers were almost 100% full. The upper deck is very full. The lower bowl is very full, except for the rich seats behind the home plate.
The bleachers are the rabble. Nobody cares about those people.
Right. And no masks required at any point. Not entering the stadium, not walking around, not going to the bathroom, not going to the concession, not in your seat. No masks required at all. Which was a breath of fresh air. And then it was interesting because there I got there 15 minutes before the game, and I don't know if it was just because it was 65% and not 100, but there was no lines to do anything. It was I was in the stadium with two beers in my hand within 45 seconds, which
Where'd you sit?
200 section. There was no metal detector, like search your bag crap.
Really?
That they've been doing. They had. You walk through the metal detector, like, as you're walking through the door, which you don't even notice. There's no searching the purses or bags or anything like that. It was just walk right in, grab your beer, go to your seat, and then, if you want, there's beer vendors going around everywhere, so you can get beer or hot dogs.
No cavity search? Will you feel...
Cavity search. And then they had the QR codes on the back...
I'd ask for one.
they had QR codes on the back of every seat. So if you didn't, if the beer guy wasn't coming by enough, or if he didn't have the beer you wanted, you could scan the code, click what you wanted, the menu popped up, order two hot dogs, a pretzel, three beers, pay on your phone, and within 5 minutes they brought it right to your seat and handed it to you. I was like, holy, it was the best experience I've ever had. Now, if they go to 100%, maybe that's gonna ruin things as far as the quick experience of it all. But at the 65% rate with, the mobile ability to do everything, if you wanted to, you could still flag down the beer guy if you wanted to, but if you wanted to scan the thing on your phone, it was delivered within 5 minutes. Hot dogs, beer, well, pretzel, whatever you wanted.
If you put 100...
Well, you know what? It sounds like they spent the last year figuring out how to make it better when everybody came back.
I'm telling you, now...
And not having to do, implement everything on the fly.
It was really something, and now... The negative to some people is that they were not taking cash. Now, I don't know if they're going to go back to taking cash when they get back to 100%, but as of right now, it's a card or mobile payment only, and that's for everything. But no mask required, basically no lines anywhere you went, and it was a overall great experience, well, man, and it was a great game, too.
If you dropped a 100-foot noose around where you were sitting, were those seats somehow 60%, or were they full?
I would say in my particular area, it was closer to probably 85 or 90%.
Because now with Greg, with his Sox tickets, his group has season tickets. They've never gotten tickets to their own seats. So every single night, they're sort of spreading people out, in such a way where, I mean, he's never gotten his seats yet, which I don't
remember. Yeah, it sounds like last night was, 65%, but no distancing, which kind of, defeats the purpose of the 65%, so they might as well just go ahead and open it up.
Yeah, and I think they are going to by in July, I think they're probably going to try to work some kinks out. The funny thing was is, so they call it 25,000 people there last night. So great game. Everyone stayed to the end because it was a close game and it was a beautiful night. And then everyone's filing out onto the red line. And then as you crossed, if you crossed the imaginary line from the sidewalk to the train station, everyone had to flip their mask on, which was hilarious.
Hey, Notre Dame is hosting the NCAA regional next week because they're one of the 16 seeded teams. And they put tickets on sale yesterday. And when I read the conditions, I said, "Well, I ain't going." They are forcing people to wear masks in the stands, and it's going to be what 85, 90 degrees this week, this weekend. I just got a load of that and said, "Well, that's a deal breaker. I'm not going to that."
Well, you talk about the science,
which
Kevin.
Is too bad because I'd love to go. They have they have a good field. They have. Michigan, Central Michigan, and Connecticut are the other three teams there.
Well, Kevin, when you read the alleged science on this, and you'll laugh at this because I've never seen. I have several articles about wearing masks. We only have a few seconds here, and how even there's no question that it blocks off your some oxygen or whatever, and it makes you hotter. There's no doubt. I mean, I wear one. I've been wearing one now for a year, so I know that. I just got this thing where somebody did a test, and they claim even on pregnant women walking in hot weather, the mask doesn't cut your oxygen intake at all. I'm thinking, where did this guy get paid from? How could that even possibly be true, Kevin? Isn't that science now? Because the guy's got something after his name. How could that possibly be true?
It isn't.
No, it isn't.
it isn't. That's how it can possibly be true. It can't. There is no science behind it. We know this now. We know it's aerosols. We know all of this stuff. And yet, a university that prides itself on research is telling us that we have to wear masks.
Why in the world?
It's just idiotic.
Why in the world would the Cubs and the Sox allow 25,000 people in there with no masks, and Notre Dame is requiring masks for 5 or 10,000 people? That makes no sense to me.
Probably like 3,000 people.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And then on top of that, you have, you know, the examples in the Texas ballparks have been 100% all year long. And what do the numbers look like in Texas?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You know, I mean, they actually had a whole week with nobody died with any infection.
Right.
You know, even if it was a comorbidity.
Well, Kevin, we'll kick it around more on Friday, bud. Thank you very much. SP Futures up 2. As if he's up 5, we have Russell in a minute. Talk about this, the VIX, the market, what he thinks about some of these valuations. Russell's really good at this stuff. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber. On the board, SP Futures up 175. Nasdaq Futures up 3.25. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you? I'm
doing all right. Are you you happy that you have your 50,000 shares of AMC this morning?
I am thrilled with my 50,000 shares of AMC. you know what's funny about that one is, have you talked at all about the insider buying versus insider selling?
Well, the company is all about trying to sell some of their treasury stock up this prices. That part I've heard. I haven't said it yet.
No, but like the officers and insiders, I'm trying to find it right now. That's why I'm fumbling along. Yesterday, somebody tweeted something positive about AMC, and I just I went to take a look at, well, what have the officers and the insiders and those folks been doing? And it's like net selling big time over the past few months.
I'm going to just read a couple of numbers here. Again, do not take anything I say as investment advice, because my advice would have been wrong on this one, at least so far. Stacks up, what, another $6 to $38.83. So the amount of shares outstanding are 502 million. So the thing has gained $3.5 billion in market cap this morning. The revenue per share is $2, and they lost $1 a share last year. So,
but it's going to get better.
Yeah, it's going to get better. But how much better? We're not exactly sure. But these are 1999 numbers, Russell. I mean, there's.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, for this company, all right. Say it's trading $40. It's $38.85. I'm going to say that one of these days you want it to be making $350 a year, and you want them to be sending you a check for, you know, $1.50 or something. I mean, not tomorrow or not next year, but sometime. I don't see that ever in our lifetimes, do you, in this company?
You never know. I mean, they can always charge us $9.50 for a small Coke when we go in there.
Well, in order for you to make... Let's put it this way. One thing I know for sure...
Because that's how they make their money. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't really... They don't make money off of the ticket sales. They make money off of jacking us on dinner and stuff when you go to one of their theaters.
Well, one thing I know for sure about investing is in order for you to make $3, your revenue has to be at least $3. So even if your margin is 100%, you need $3 worth of revenue. The revenue is $2.35. So, matter of fact, last time I checked was a long time ago. Since things have changed since then, what were like the three highest margin items like in the U.S.?
I couldn't even.
Well, at the time it was a text because people paid. It was before you had unlimited texting.
I know that what you're going to say on one of them, which has to be movie theater popcorn.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
What is the 5 hour thing of popcorn cost? Maybe like 10 cents or something.
$5. I don't know what planet you're on. More like $11 or $12.
Oh, really?
And
so when have you been to the movies last?
I'm going to shock you as you're insulting me. I'll make it even worse. You know the last movie I saw in a theater?
Godfather 2.
The Sting. Okay.
a bunch of us in the OEX pit when they were going to close down the big huge theater in the McClure Court ran over right after the trading day and saw The Hunt for Red October. In the big, huge theater before they made all the little theaters out of it. And it was spectacular because it had speakers all around the place and somebody would make a noise in the submarine, it would be behind you.
Oh, I like that.
It was really something. It's a total sense around. But now the movie theater, hell, there's people that have...
That screens. Movie came out, by the way, guess what year?
I'm going to say, I was still on a train for 95?
Wrong. No. 1990... is when that movie came out, March 2nd. So you're talking 31 years ago was the last time you've been in a movie theater.
Right, and I really don't miss it.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if Russell experienced this, but during the pandemic, when things started to partially reopen, AMC obviously struggling, not stock-wise, but actual theater-wise, allowed you to rent out a theater for you and 19 of your friends for $100 if you wanted to watch a quote-unquote classic movie. They would have a rotating list of 10 or 15 movies from the 70s, 80s, 90s, or $200 if you wanted to watch a new release. And I did that with a group of friends one night, and it was spectacular. They had the full bar. They had food, you know, popcorn, chicken tenders, that type of thing. And then you're just sitting there with a group of your friends watching a movie. We watched Beverly Hills Cop from the 80s. It was great.
Yeah, I'd love to go see like a Casablanca
or something. $5 a person
to
get in. And then of course, like you said, you spend all your money in the popcorn.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I'd love to go see like Casablanca or some of those old ones.
I would too. The problem was, the list was limited, but, you know, it rotated. They had, and it was like, for someone my age, it was really cool to see like, Indiana Jones or Goonies or Beverly Hills, like movies that came out when I was a kid that I didn't get to see in the theater, and to go back and see those in the theater was pretty cool.
I have a real stupid question. They don't still use film, do they?
Some theaters do. I don't know if they all do. Like the AMC big ones, they might not.
Film versus, digital. Because, I mean, they still...
You would think digital, but then part of me's thinking... They gotta have, you know what, I know they use digital because I know a friend of a friend that works for a small movie theater chain in Memphis, and basically his job is making sure that when the movies get delivered, that they're delivered securely so that they don't get out there.
Interesting.
Well, aren't they still?
He's like in charge of IT security for Malco Theaters.
Huh. Well, it might not
and
be
when
now.
I first heard that, I was like, "What? What the hell?" And then it was explained to me.
Well, that's a big deal. Yeah, if you have a movie that you spent $100 million on, you don't want some guy letting it out for free before the release date.
They usually are. Somebody will grab them in the theater itself. They'll film them or something.
Well, a lot of the small theaters, like the old cinemas that are still around, they still use film, and that's where the actual like movie buffs and cinema heads, they'll only go see it on the old film. like the 9mm stuff or whatever. But the big chains have to be all digital now.
9mm, that was a porn flick.
Or not 9mm.
It's 32 or 64, usually.
No, I think there's something else. I don't know what I'm thinking of, but there's a certain way that you can shoot a movie that's like an old way to shoot it, and then there's certain theaters, like the Music Box is like one of the only theaters in Chicago that will still play it the way it's supposed to be shot.
The movies that were filmed in film up until not very many years ago. I mean, they just changed to the other. When I say just, within the last 10 years or so, they used film. And guys actually would splice the film. I mean, it was... matter of fact, it's interesting that one of... here's a little piece, and then we'll talk more about this market. If you ask anybody what John Wayne's first big film was, everybody's going to say Stagecoach, right? But that wasn't really true. Mm-hmm. He was in a what was supposed to be a big blockbuster. It was called The Big Trail. And it is so hokey, it's scary. But it's as a period piece, you almost want to watch a piece of it, a part of it. I mean, he's wearing the white hat. I mean, it is so corny. But this film was filmed in like the late 1920s. And it was like the Star Wars. What was the Star Wars one which caused... Did it go from 64 to 128? It caused all the movie theaters to have to upgrade their stuff just to play it, right? Was it the sound that was sent around, or was bigger? Something was different about it. Well, this particular one, the John Wayne movie, came out, and between the time they finished filming and it hit the movie theaters, I think it went from 16 to 32 or something. But it was much better cinematography. And it was a stock market crash. So none of the theaters did it, so the thing was a big bomb. Well, of course, they blamed it all on the actor. Even though the movie never even got out, they blamed it on John Wayne. And that's why he was 10 years in the B-movies. The Odors, the Hour, the Shorts that would have played before other movies. And some of the movies he made, I got a bunch of them at home. They're all the same. It's the same set.
You want to hear something absolutely hilarious, and the whole world has just come full circle? Do you know the last movie that he was in?
The Shootist.
You just said it.
The Shootist.
Star Wars.
John Wayne was in Star Wars?
He was uncredited and had a bit part in it.
Wow.
Really?
Oh.
Yep.
That's bizarre. Well,
he was in the Star Wars of our day and the Star Wars of his day.
Really? Well, that's interesting. The weird there's a I have it at home someday if anybody, you know, maybe you guys want to come over and have a couple of adult beverages. It's the autobiography of the young John Wayne. I don't really, you know, give that much about him and his politics or whatever, but it is a spectacular period piece talking about how the people that were under contract for Republic that were making these shorts, the studio knew that they weren't making enough money. So if there was another movie showing or being filmed, they'd let everybody off like an hour early so they could run over and make $5 as an extra in another movie. Because they knew they were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're interviewing these ladies and they're going, we're on the back lot, it's dusty as hell. We said we used to do a movie in a week. Your hair is all full of sand. I mean, she goes, it was brutal trying to look good when there wasn't even a shower around. But that's what they did. You know, the man from you, they were all the same. You can see them, the horses riding back. And, you know, we're going to cut them off at the pass. Was used in the line was in every flick. But it was like the Three Stooges. They absolutely screwed the Stooges. If you ever read Mo Howard by Mo Howard. Manny, the big people have been screwing little people they kept telling them that nobody wanted a movie short. And they kept paying those guys less and less. And in fact, the only way you could get the Stooges is if you took a movie that nobody wanted. Because the Stooges were so popular in these small town movie theaters. And Mo had no way of knowing how much they were getting or not. And then Curly was so sick, he had enough trouble with that. Mo had to go through every single scene for Curly because his memory was like, you know, what, 30 seconds or something? Russell, he had some kind of brain problem. No, He wasn't a dumb guy, but he had a brain issue very young. So Mo had to act his scene out for him so that because he couldn't read anymore. He had to act it out and say it, and then he would follow it. It was really brutal. I mean, Mo was a spectacular actor and a real bright guy. Obviously to pull that off, what those guys did all those years was, It was sort of interesting. Anyway.
By the way, Robert writes in, imagining you and 30 of your OEX buddies going to the theater at 3:30. I'm surprised you guys didn't burn it down.
Well, we went out afterward. It was a long night. I think we went to the buffet over at that place over on North Pier afterward. They had a buffet every night. As long as you went in and drank.
That's something you don't see anymore. Oh, and maybe never see again. You may never see again.
Yeah, oh yeah. Anyway, Russell, what are we doing here? We've got the market running up in these stocks that are crazy. He seemed to have some valuation coming back into parts of the market, but the money's just going to other places and other parts of the market. It's one thing to have, you know, oil stocks run up because you think world demand for oil is going to increase. It's quite another to triple the price of AMC. You know, I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah. You ever have the guy come out, to check your basement when you've got a couple of cracks and you got leaks and stuff, and you ever heard the little phrase that water's going to find a way to get wherever it's going to get?
Oh, yeah.
Money's got to find a way to go somewhere these days, and that's what's going on. It's just excess liquidity. Well, I used to work with a hedge fund guy, and his number one thing that he would always focus on is how much liquidity's in the system, and, you know, don't be short. They say don't fight the Fed as far as shorting the market when the Fed's propping it up. Well, that's kind of where we're at right now. Is it's just a matter of there's too much money chasing too few financial assets, because there's certain things nobody wants to buy. Nobody wants to buy bonds. You're not going to get any yield out of them. Nobody's going to put money in when I teach the basic finance class, it's the initial thing is the choice between putting money in a bank account and making, and of course this is the academic example, but getting 5% for putting your money in a savings account or putting your money in stocks, where the minimum you should get is what you would get from that bank account. Well, there ain't nothing in that bank account anymore. And stocks the only place that people see people making money, so they're like lemmings and following them in there.
Well, as you know,
and they're going to be like really quick lemmings jumping off the cliff when it's time to get out.
Well, the investment group, and you know, I talk to people constantly, and I'm not going to be too specific on what I say, but especially the older IRA kinds of people are absolutely panicked because they can't get any real income for just letting somebody use their money like you're supposed to, meaning a savings account or anything like that, where the bank is an intermediary to essentially get the money from people who have the money to people that have the ideas. That's what banks do, right? But they haven't done that now in how long? And it's not what they do.
I was going to say, you said that's what banks do. I was going to say that's what banks did.
Well, okay, but that is the function, allegedly, of a bank.
Yeah. Right?
And we're not sure what they are. Now, do they still even give, I bet the ones in the rural areas still give people loans for seeds and stuff. I would hope they do, but I'm not. I don't know. These people, when they call up, when I say these people, my clients, God, they're 75, Russell. And how come we're not in AMC? I go, do you think that you're risk proud?
Why didn't you do that?
Yeah.
You're there in Chicago, and you're talking to all the people. You know all the insider stuff. Why aren't you doing this for me?
Yeah, why
we don't know anything more than anybody else knows.
Well, we're not going to know that. But you know, the idea is that the only way now to make money, and this is not me joking, this is serious. The only way people have been trained in the last 12 years to make money, it's not to, well, unless you're one of the people that are doing exceptionally well, and I hope you are, you're not going to get your paycheck for 100 hours a week, live comfortably on 80, and put 20 in the bank. That, for most of society now, that ship has sailed, right? I mean, unfortunately. But you're not going to put it in a bank. I mean, the last time we had inflation, my mom was getting 12% in the local CD, right? So she was pretty much impervious to the inflation. And they had a home that was going up in price. So they were okay with it. Their timing was perfect. But right now, the only way that you're going to make any money is to sell something to somebody who's paid more than you just did. Right? But the problem there is you don't want to sell it because you know that if it goes higher and you're not, in other words, nobody's going to buy IBM and just be happy with it at this price or a little bit higher 2 years from now because you're getting a nice fat dividend. I mean, you want to buy something and you're buying at 100 and think you can sell it $110 bucks a month from now. That is I understand where people feel that way, because that's been that way now for 12 years. But Russell, that is very dangerous. It's the greater fool theory. I don't care what it's
exactly
worth. I'm paying $100 because I know
the phrase I was going to use is it's a greater fool market.
Well, it's like always hoping that the Lone Ranger happens to be over your hill when the Lone Ranger has been the Fed. Yet right now, I think you and I know, and the listeners, I think hopefully know, that the ammunition that they're using to keep the 10-year rate down, which is to constantly buy more and more of the bonds, right? That ammunition is the same thing that is causing the rate to want to go up. Because if you look at, and I'll be the pro, here, you grade me on this. Your long-term rate, your 10-year rate, should be the real rate of interest plus what people think the inflation is going to be. So if every year you think the inflation is 5% and you want to charge Matt Weber 2.5% for lending him $100 for the year, which has been the rate 2.5-3% through the centuries, basically, and you think the inflation is going to be 5, well, I got to charge Matt Weber 8, right? Well, every time the inflation goes up and they pour more money in the 10-year to keep it down, what it's really telling you is the real rate of interest is going more and more negative. So they're creating their own problem. And then they're not throwing water on the fire, they're throwing gas. Where am I wrong? Grade my paper. Mm-hmm. Grade my paper, Professor. What I just say is right or not?
I'm grading your paper?
Yeah.
I think you were dead on.
And at sometime, somewhere.
How can I give you anything but an A every Wednesday morning?
Easy.
Oh, no.
But I'm saying when it comes to that, this happened to be something I know something about because I lived through it. But the exact same fire. I mean, anybody today, if you were to ask anybody, the buffoons, well, not buffoons, but people on CNBC, if you were to say right now today, with everything, the breakout of the go back to work thing, the go back to the movies thing, does anybody really think that the economy needs $8 billion of the Fed poured into the system today? Does anybody think that? Needs it? Do we need it?
We don't need it. We absolutely don't need it. And unfortunately, I think the amount of money that's being, you know, just doled out like that is resulting in bad behavior, and it's definitely going to result in inflation spiking up on us. But the first headline I saw this morning was, people are quitting their jobs instead of going back into the office because they like work from home so much. Well, if you're willing to just, you know, up and quit your job like that, you're making an assumption that you're going to be able to get another one quite easily.
How many of those people do you think
are... Which means that the labor side of the equation kind of has all the power right now.
Well, how many of those people allegedly working from home are trading Robinhood from home while they're working?
I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons they don't want to go back in the office. The firewall at work's not going to let them trade anymore.
I think you're probably right. One of the, I have it here somewhere.
I do think that's part of it. But, yeah, if labor's got all the power right now, if I could just up and quit the two jobs that I have right now and think that I can get something else within a week or two, that also means that, if I pop up and say that I quit both jobs, that the guys I work for are going to probably have to pay up a lot more to replace me, and they may just offer me more money to stick around.
First of all, you're irreplaceable.
A lot of inflation initially kicks in on the labor side, because then, you know, when everybody at Walmart gets a blanket raise, Walmart's going to have to start charging us a little bit more for stuff.
Well, I think one of the...
And it works its way through. And that's what everybody's going to be focused in on Friday on the employment number.
Well,
what's the cost?
Well, grade me on this one, Professor, as well. I think we have a massive, how's this for a term in the morning, a bifurcation in the labor market. I'm going to say that most people, we're driven to look at the people in some states. I mean, here in Chicago, we're talking $10 an hour. We used to pay people in restaurants and stuff like that, or the Dunkin' Donuts and those kinds of things. And now, which was really pitifully low, it hasn't really gone up in 20 years.
Chicago minimum wage is $14 per hour.
Just so you know. However, that's not for restaurant people.
Right.
But,
okay,
but I think that applies to the Dunkin' Donuts person.
But when did the girls go from 10 to 11? Was that 3 years ago, Manny? I mean, it's been recent.
Yeah, that's probably recent.
What I'm saying is, but even going from, you know, $9 an hour where are we, 2021? In 2010 to 13 today isn't exactly a spectacular raise. It's been so incredibly low that you can't even use the percentage changes. It's like saying a stock went from 60 cents to a buck. My God, it's up, you know, 38% or something. Well, okay, fine. It's still a buck. But I'm going to say that Maddie's lovely bride's her new job. I'm going to say, Maddie, that she's probably competitive at the new job. If they had to pay enough to get her, it's probably a real wage. I think yours probably is a real wage. But the people who are at the $10 number, I'm thinking if you go back how long ago that's been, well, look at the median wage. Is 37 or 38 now. 20 years ago it was 31. I mean, that number should be 42 or something, or 45.
Well, I've been reading a lot of articles lately.
To keep up with everything else. Yeah.
Russell, I don't know if you've seen this, but in the last 3 months, I've been reading a lot of articles where people call them my age, mid to late 30s, early 40s. You've been out of college for quite some time now. You have a career. Maybe you've been promoted a couple of times. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to take a mental health break. And they just quit their job for 6 months or a year or 2 years. For whatever reason, I mean, stress with the pandemic, stress with work, whatever. One, I can't imagine doing that. But two, how much money do you have?
Yeah, she can kill you if you did that.
Well, how much money do you have that you can just, you know what? I'm just mentally exhausted. I'm going to take a year off. Who can do that? And since when has that ever been an option for most people?
Well, and beyond that, how are you able to do that if you're all saddled with a bunch of student loan debt.
Right.
Plus, what do you do all
day? That's a huge disconnect right there. There's supposed to be a big generational problem, and I've got student loan debt from my PhD, so I fall in that. But if you know, it's too difficult to get ahead, and you're not getting, the generation that's come out of college in the last 5 to 10 years, they're not doing well enough to buy homes, so home ownership's going down, and I mean, what do you do? Do you go home one? I could only imagine how this would have gone over in the Rhodes household. if I went back to Memphis and I said, you know what, I'm just burned out up in Chicago, and I want to come home and go back to my childhood home and sit around for 6 months and get myself back together. That would not have gone over very well.
I don't think so.
So we say a stink bomb in church.
Yeah. When you talk about a bifurcation in the labor market, I guess that's what I'm talking about. There's the people in their 20s or early 30s that the student loan debt has just got to be crippling. Then there's people my age, and, you know, I turned 38 this year, and then, you know, people in their 40s where maybe the student loan debt.
38? Aren't you 25 still?
Well, and sometimes I think I am, but people in that age
group. Good Lord, you look awesome for 38.
Thank you. Well, I turned 38 in September, so still 37. But okay. Anyway.
Okay, well, you look okay for 37. Go ahead.
We're maybe not quite as crippled with the student loan debt because, you know, it's been 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Still might have some, or maybe it's dwindling. And we've been working a little bit longer. You have that group, and that's the group I'm reading about that's like, you know what, I'm going to take some time off, which I can't even imagine.
No,
possible. Then you have the older crowd that, you're paying for student loans for two kids, and you may be poorer now than you were 20 years ago. And the whole thing.
Oh, I am. I most definitely am. And I'm totally Mr. Rock and Hard Place because I'm finishing my PhD in about 6 weeks, and I got a kid in 2 days that's going to be a rising junior in high school. So I've got
oh my God, yeah.
And I got another one that's a freshman in high school. So I'm totally my personal net worth peaked about 22 years ago.
So
just before I met my wife.
Not that she had anything to do with it.
Maddie, I'm going to say that as much as she digs you, you would not have gone to the altar if you didn't come in clear title if you still had student loan debt and everything.
Well, there's something to that.
The love of my life here in the Rhodes household, she actually, I think on our first date, asked me how much credit card debt I had.
That's a real one right there.
Well, you don't want people coming without clear title.
Yeah. And how many guys come without clear title?
Yeah, most guys don't.
Got plenty now.
It's SP futures up 7, Nasdaq futures up 21. We're starting low today. We're trying to go up. The last few days we've been starting high and we went down. We'll see if this works out better. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howies, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. And Russell Rhodes of these just ticked an interesting story in my brain. They're all in there somewhere. SP futures up 650. Nasdaq futures up 16. Dow futures up 53. Individual stocks that are up are AMC and Zoom are both up. They had learnings last night.
You're going to like this. Our buddy Natachi tweets in, when I met my wife all those years ago, my title status was salvage.
He's probably not alone. God, I love that. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 4, FTSE up 11, so we're positive, but very slight. CAC around up 15, although the DAX is up. It was up huge yesterday, so actually it's up some, which is probably pretty good. Nikkei up 131 now. Well, all morning it's been up 131 because they've been closed. 0.5%, Shanghai down 27.8%, Hang Seng down 170.6, so a mixed bag of it. But Russell, you're an expert on the Asian area. I don't think I've ever seen as many days in the last 100 where the Nikkei and mainland China, or the Chinese markets, have gone in different directions. Maybe after I'm done with this, you can opine on that. Yesterday, the Dow was up 45, S&P down 2, NASDAQ down 12, so not much going on day after the holiday. Bonds, unchanged at 1.6. I say bonds, I'm talking about 10-year rate. The Bund, minus 0.19, and Japan, minus positive 0.08, UK, positive 0.81. Oil continues its rally, up 51 cents, 68.23. Brent up 65 cents, 70.90, so it's through 70 on the Brent. Natural gas down 2 cents, but still over $3 at 307. RBOB up 2 cents at 218, so you'll feel that at the pump. Gold up 260, 1907. Silver down 3 cents, 2806. So they're up there. I mentioned earlier, Russell, that if gold goes up further from here, then you can expect that GDX to really take off, because it's all profit past here for a lot of these companies. Although, you know what? I never hear anymore My brother was telling me yesterday, because I can't find anywhere where these companies used to tell you how much they've hedged the gold. And I can't find it any place anymore. Maybe you can show us where. Copper down 3 cents at the 462. And the last is our Bitcoin's up 1,400 to 37,366. Eddie, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have some issues on the tri-state in both directions, but specifically on the northbound side. Just before Grand Avenue, there's a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder that's causing significant congestion on I-294, so keep that in mind out in the western burbs. If you're coming in on the Edens or Kennedy, normal traffic volume starting to build at this hour as we're returning, I would say, to pre-pandemic traffic volumes throughout the area. Lots of traffic on the Edens and Kennedy. No accidents, but lots of delays. Same for the Eisenhower.
People still want to go 100 like when there was nobody there.
Well, they can't. Southside expressways, no accidents to report, but it's going to take you back to normal times as far as volumes are concerned. So that's I guess, a good sign. Lakeshore Drive is quiet. Out in the burbs, one crash to report. Army Trail Road at County Farm Road, there is an accident. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, another beautiful early June day. Lots of sunshine, a high of 70. Right now it's clear and 59 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, a hot one today. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 106. Right now it's clear and 81. In sports, the Cubs keep rolling. They topped the Padres last night 4-3, and they remain a half game up on St. Louis for first place in the NL Central at 31-23. White Sox lost their second straight game to second place Cleveland, falling 6-5 last night. Sox are 2.5 up as they wrap up that four-game set this afternoon. Hoping to split that four-game set and be back to 3.5 up where they started. Diamondbacks topped the Mets 6-5, and in NBA basketball for our Phoenix listeners, Suns one game away from moving on to the second round as they blew out the Lakers last night, 115-85.
What's that going to do, a LeBron-less?
Not great for ratings, and the Suns lead the Lakers now 3-2 in that best-of-seven series. Chief.
Who are the Lakers missing from last year?
Well, Anthony Davis got hurt in I think game three maybe. So the Lakers had a 2-1 series lead, and I think he either got hurt at the end of game three or in game four. And I think he's out. I don't know if he's out for the series, but he's definitely been out the last couple of games, and the Suns have taken control.
But it's not like a broken ankle or anything like that. He's out.
No, I need to read up on it. But I did see that. But Chris Paul missed a couple of games in the series as well. The best player on the Suns, so it's sort of been even on the injury front. I just think the Suns are better than the Lakers this year.
Really, it could be. So what you're talking about?
Sometimes you want it more,
Russell. What you're talking about? I had. Everybody knows we've had a bunch of assistant producers on the show. Maddie, of course, has been the mainstay. But one of the ladies was girl Maddie, and she was a Loyola. Young lady, very nice. And I don't really like these ladies taking the train in the morning at this hour, so I usually go pick them up if they're within close range. And, anyway, so we're driving in and, you know, so two things bugged me. Two mornings were memorable. One was she was telling me one of her roommates went someplace and came back with a bunch of bed bugs. And I'm thinking, you better not let one of those things loose in my truck. But I'm like, talk about reasons you want to kill your roommate. Well, you don't hear anything about bed bugs anymore since nobody traveled. I haven't heard anybody mention it. You know, but anyway, because for a while you were getting them in all the best hotels, right? Anyway, so.
Yeah, no, it's just funny you bring up the things that changed because of the pandemic and maybe for a little bit of a positive. I heard somebody try to put a positive spin on, a lack of crime during the pandemic, saying that burglaries were down massively last year. Well, no kidding. You can't burgle a house when they're home.
Well,
you also can't bring anything home like bed bugs if you don't leave the house either.
Well, so the other one, and it was always, you know, you're driving in an attractive young lady, so that you take that risk, right? Rather than have them, you know, get knifed on the red line. But so one morning she goes, "Well, yeah, my roommate." She went home, and her father finally had the birds and the bees discussion. I'm sitting there going, where's this going? And then she looks at me kind of stiffening, like, what am I doing in the car with a young lady having this discussion? And she goes, oh, no, nothing like that. he figured she already figured that out. And I'm going, okay. But evidently she was going to Loyola, and she's getting an English degree, and she's going to be a teacher. And she's racking up the student loans. She gets home to Michigan, sits her down at the table and goes through the budget and this and that. Basically, if you don't find some guy to marry who's got some dough, you know, it's basically what the father said. He goes, I figure you're age 48 before you get out of the student loans if you're an English teacher at like Chicago Public Schools or someplace. It's a long time.
And that's probably a more important birds than the bees discussion.
Well, you know the weird part about it, Russell, is when you get overwhelmed, your decision process, not just because they're young or they're ladies or you're goofy or whatever, everybody's goofy when they're young, just in a different way, the guys and the girls, but the whole mindset's different. I mean, if I owed somebody, you know, $300 or something, and I get home from school for spring break, and I can go to work at the school board, I'm going to go and I'm going to make the $300 or $400 and pay whoever it is off, be it my parents or whatever, because it's a doable number. But if somebody says to me, "You're going to be in debt till you're 46," and somebody says, "Let's go somewhere on spring break," especially since nobody can make that much money during a week now. I mean, I did in those days because there was more work around. But I mean, the thought of, okay, I'm going to pay my last student loan debt when I'm 46. Does it really matter if I'm 47 in a week? I mean, right? But it's so far out there. Mm-hmm. I might as well go on spring break. I owe $50,000. What's the difference if it's 51?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a whole different. It's such a big number. It's like the federal government is dealing with now. I mean,
just like the government.
Yeah. But what I want to ask you, maybe you know, I have my opinion on this, but I'm just going to ask you straight out. Of course, you'll know what my opinion is by the time I get done explaining it. Have you noticed whether it's Joe Biden or whoever it is, it's the people from Congress or, you know, even when they say Democrats, Republicans, and who's which way is the other way, I mean, the Democrats want an infrastructure bill of $1.7 trillion and the Republicans want, you know, $980 or something. Well, granted, I'm in the middle, but I probably would go with the Republicans on this one. But still, it's not zero. I mean, 980 is a huge number, so we're just pissing about, you know, a part of it. But I get the feeling that all these people now, the pain has come away from this. You know, it's like if you want to run a marathon in the heat, there's a certain amount of pain involved, but there's also a lot that you gain by doing it when it's really a challenge for you. I don't think, I mean, when you look at it economically, which I hope you agree with me, when a politician 40 years ago, well, Paul Simon says, okay, we're going to spend $2 billion, or whatever, Dirks, and I'm being even here. The first thing that pops into his or her mind is, all right, I either got to go out and borrow this money, or I'm probably going to have to raise taxes on my people, which I don't want to do. So I better be real careful before I spend the $2 billion because I got to get it from someplace. And the only two places are taxing it or borrowing it from people, which means I take $2 billion out of their pocket and put it in our pocket. Is this bill really that important that I'm going to take that buying power away from the population and give it to essentially me or the government? But now I think these guys are addicted to this new third element, which is print it. And I think it's infecting their entire decision-making process, from Biden to Pelosi to Schumer. It almost doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. Even the guy...
I'm going to say, you could name both sides of the aisle on that, because they're both equally bad.
So, but if I write... But now there's no pain to it, or they don't think. Mm-hmm. We're just going to print it. What's the difference? I mean, I don't care if the Fed goes...
No, but...
Yeah. Go ahead.
There'll be pain for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. You hear that one, but you don't even really hear that one anymore.
But where is an example, and I know you like to do history and economic, where is an example where a currency that is supposedly the world's lead currency, this 7 or 8 trillion that the Fed is essentially, well, it's 7, and it's over 7, it'll be 8 soon. We know what the deficit is from the federal government, the $28 trillion, whatever it is. Where exactly would you put the 7 or 8 that the Fed has? I mean, I think the people in the Congress, in the presidency, are thinking it's just found money. The states surely do. Print it and send it to us. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican governor or a Democratic governor. What do they? Do they honestly think it's just free dough?
Absolutely. The it's unlimited. There's an old Simpsons episode where for some reason Bart's visiting an internet startup. That's how old it is. And they run out of toilet paper when he goes to the bathroom, so they give him a big roll of stock.
God.
That's how I think about. That's probably how they think about money. I just go print a bunch more of it.
But what I mean,
if the thing that happened on January 6th had become a real siege, they may have started burning money to stay warm.
Well, yeah, but I don't know of any. But could you think of any way, any other country that has quote done that? Then going back to, I'll use the term normal, Dave. The idea of having an independent Fed now is so far off the chart; it's not even there.
Yeah,
I mean, if Biden were to come out and say we're going to have $1.9 trillion, or McConnell, we're going to have $900 billion infrastructure process, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden Powell were to come out and say you're doing it on your own, I'm not giving you a dime. You're going to have to go out and borrow all that money. I can't even imagine the carnage that would be mentally in Washington if they had to actually go out and borrow.
It would be, I mean. I explained to my kids when we went through the last election that a politician's job is not what you think it's supposed to be. It's not to do. Actually, my daughter was she's like part of the small group of Democrats they have at her school, and some state rep came by and talked to them. And basically the state rep, said, if you could tag me on your social media, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was more interested in letting people know that he had come by and talked to them than actually talking to them. My pretty bright 16-year-old picked up on that. And I said, well, honey, his job is to get reelected. And the reason he's talking to you guys is to, get his name out there to make sure when you're of voting age you can vote. But he's talking to you guys that can't vote, just hoping that you'll, help promote him. But the politician's job is, their main job is to stick in a spot where they get reelected, and you would think that they would be doing what is best for us, and that's why we would keep electing them. Best for us long term, but I think they're very short term focused. And when you're very short term focused, you're making sure everybody gets a check, everybody's somewhat comfortable with their life, and they're okay reelecting you.
But they're also, they have the same ego that the three of us have. I mean, I think that people should have me manage their money, because if they're mm-hmm. they're interested in doing any sort of hedging or any, not just being, basically balls out long ones, or any kind of hedging or any designing of a portfolio using options to change their risk curve depending on their age or those kinds of things. I honestly believe that there is no one that's better at the retail use of options than I am. I mean, that's my ego. I mean, I have a resume that proves it. I mean, I gotta believe that. In your new job, you think that they would have been absolute morons to hire anybody other than you. Why wouldn't you think that? And I'm going to say that.
Exactly.
I mean, I would say that maybe I've helped a little bit with the training, but I'm going to say I can't imagine somebody who's better at Maddie's job than he is. He cares about it. He's always there, and he gets better every year. He knows how to deal with people, and he knows his product. And I'm going to say that if he didn't get a promotion, somebody else did, I'd say, I want to see that guy. I mean, it doesn't mean we're egotistical people. It's just we're proud of what we do. Right?
Yeah.
And a politician believes, and I'm sure that guy honestly...
The thing with the politicians is I think they believe they're better suited to tell us how to live our lives than we are.
Well, I mean, it's a little cynical, which I usually am.
That becomes a problem in my mind.
But I'm going to say, if you and I ever got... If all of a sudden we both ran for senator... And somehow we won. I mean, you and I, maybe you'd be on one side, I'd be on the other, or I'd be in a third party. Somewhere we'd both be in a third party. The fact is, both of us on that day feel that we're going to put forth enough effort that the state is better off that we're there than the guy we just beat. I mean, how could you not feel that way? You need to feel that way. I mean, I go out in the softball field, hopefully I'll pitch some more in the summer. I believe that I know I can't feel the position like I used to. But I still feel that I'm better than the guy on the other team, and I'm going to prove it. I mean, a politician has to feel that he's the best guy for the job. Why wouldn't he? I mean, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you've got to have that internal belief because it's got to come across when you're trying to get people to vote for you.
Well, yeah. And maybe, yeah, I think if it was you and I, maybe it might actually be true. We actually would care about, yeah, about the rest of the people a little bit, not just ourselves. But I mean, you can't, as my cousin had a thing happen to him, talking about a crazy story just popped into my head. He went to Tilden Tech. He was a halfback. And he gets recruited. Well, they get a little of this. They recruit the quarterback to go to University of Colorado. The quarterback evidently was some big stud. So they bring him along just, you know, because he was good. I don't think he was all city. Maybe he was. He goes out there. And he's there like 4 days, and the quarterback says, well, pack your bags. I'm going to, like, Nebraska or someplace. You know, I don't like it here. My cousin goes, I just got here. I'm staying. Mm-hmm. He ends up being a, you know, he's a two-way player back in those days. He's up there. So somebody gets dinged up, so they put him in at cornerback. And they're playing Missouri. And he's in there for, some guy comes around the end, and like his first play in there, linebacker nails the guy. They're on, like, the guys are pushing, they're on their own, like, 10-yard line. The guy nails the dude. Ball hits on the ground. He goes, I did exactly what you're not supposed to do. I scooped the ball up instead of falling on it. And he ran track, too, so nobody's going to catch him. He picks it up and he runs 90 yards. And it's like his first play ever as like a sophomore, because freshman couldn't play back then. And the headline the next day was, Carson beats Missouri. And he goes, I was there for one play. And he goes, I didn't even really make the play. The linebacker did. He goes, one thing I learned is you can't do squat from the sidelines. You got to be in the game, you know, for anything good to happen to you. So, I mean, you and I would have to feel, before I can do any good as a senator, I got to become a senator, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you
and
were,
how do you become a senator?
Well, I mean,
you put up a whole ton of your own money, and you run for lesser jobs to get your name out.
Well,
there.
You know what they do.
It takes so long to become a senator; it's ridiculous.
But if you could, I honestly believe you guys can tell me I'm totally wrong on this. I still have this soft spot that if you and I or anybody from Stocks and Jobs, if we started putting out a comment, did the work, where every week or whatever we wrote a solid column about policy and using some common sense, I think we could attract people that way. I mean, Trump did with the, you know, You're Fired show. Roosevelt did by using radio. I still think there's a way to get there without the money. Because look at how much Bloomberg spent. But all he did was put himself on a he was unlikable. So the more he put himself out there, the worse he got. Right? It can work the other way, too. The man was unlikable. You know, so what's his name? The guy from the trading floor. What the hell's his name? Blair Hull.
Oh, Blair Hull.
And Dr. J says to me he's going to be the next governor. We're having breakfast over at Sirius. I go, John, I'll make a bet on that. He goes, why are you always? I said, John, look at him. He just got up. He walked out of a place. This is his home turf. Not one person waved at him, and he didn't say hello to anybody. What the hell kind of politician is that? Nobody likes the guy, and he doesn't like anybody else. You have to be good at this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've been to enough of those things to see when these people come into these. Remember when we used to have the breakfast? It doesn't matter if the other guy was as diametrically opposed to your politics as the man in the moon. You're going to like the guy. I mean, there can't be the biggest right wing guy on earth that didn't like Tom Foley. I mean, he's the most likable dude, big guy. You wouldn't mess with him. And he sits down, has an answer for every one of your questions. He spends time with you. You don't come away. You might come away saying, I'm not going to vote for him because he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. But you're not going to come away saying the guy's a bleep, because he wasn't. They're very good at that, right?
Yeah. No, Clinton was the best at it.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think Manny Weber is destined for this.
I don't have enough dough.
For politics?
He can talk sports, he can talk this, he can have a drink with somebody.
I could do the shrimp cocktail circuit. I know I could do that.
You could be the next Tommy Box.
But I don't think I have the backing unless I can string Russell together and a couple more guys like him.
Well, that's true. Remember Tommy Boggs, Russell?
No.
The guy he was the CBOE's lobbyist forever. He was from Patton, Boggs, and Blow. Well, how's that for an outfit?
That was that was before my day. He wasn't our lobbyist.
Well, he was Hale Boggs' kid.
Okay.
And so, you know, he had the connections. You know, his sister was Cokie Roberts, who never used
oh, wow.
the family name.
I did not know that.
But this guy, he could work a room. Matty Weber could be this. You know how there's a room of like 50 people, how you kind of everybody stands in like groups of like six or seven? He would make the rounds with a cocktail. He never took a drink. He would make the rounds, tinkling the ice. He'd go to every single one of those things. In 35 minutes, he would make connections with everybody in the room. If it was five old grumpy guys, it was slightly off-color joke. If it was a lady in the group, it was a cleaned-up joke. But everybody who was there talked to the guy, remembered him. He's a good guy. He came around, very personable. And he wouldn't be 45 minutes, and he's out to the next function. Absolutely spectacular. I could see Matty doing that. He has footwork just like him.
Absolutely.
You could be, and you know what? Everybody liked the guy. And he was smart. I mean, and there wasn't anything about any bill you could ask him about he didn't know. He was no dummy. And I bet he had 15 places that were 10 grand a month that were just the lobbyist charge. That's not bad living. That was 20
no.
years ago. SP Futures up 850, NASDAQ Futures up 1950. Russell, as usual, good stuff. Take care of yourself, buddy. And trade well.
I will.
We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.